Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by CEO of Promescent, Jeff Abraham, and we're talking about not only making love last longer, but how to make it better too. Plus your calls and Instagram questions. Topics include why talking about sex with your partner is crucial to your satisfaction in bed, how to increase intimacy and be more open-minded in the bedroom. So, okay, get this. You feel weird kissing your partner after they go down on you. So how do you get past that? And your ex has a free hall pass to hook up with someone. Should you go down that road? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com, because it's awesome. You can also find me on SiriusXM Radio, which is also awesome, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific on SiriusXM Stars, channel 109. You guys should check it out. If you don't have Sirius, what the hell? You can go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. You get a free 30-day trial. And hey, happy Masturbation Month. All hands on deck. Or dick. Enjoy the show. We're closing the orgasm gap. He's been closing the orgasm gap since I met him, doing such a great job. You guys can, if you're calling in, you can hang on the phones. You can still call us, 888-947-8277. But I got to welcome my friend Jeff. He's the CEO of Promescent. You guys hear me talk about it. Over-counter topical spray that's used to essentially help you last longer in bed.
Correct.
And it's the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation. I've known Jeff for years, since he started it. And I love Jeff. I'm so happy to see you. And it's like, I feel like that, what's that commercial? Like, I'm not only a client, I wear the suits. Like, that's
yeah,
like about Jeff.
Exactly.
And like, he is
Men's
client. Like, Men's Warehouse. Like, I wear the suits
yes.
And I'm not. But like, I love Promescent. And Jeff is like, has a great, you know, how he started it. And he's been like passionate about the company. Now it's been, what, 6 years? I was trying to remember when we first met.
Eight. Well, we met 6 years ago.
Okay.
I started with the company 8 years ago. We met 2 years in. So it's been
yeah.
8 years total, six that you and
this
I
is
have.
A passion project.
Yes.
Get
and
men
we've
to help
grown
men with
together.
Their penises.
We've grown together.
We have grown together.
Yes.
We have, Jeff. We've grown together. We met. Yeah, I was still, I mean, yeah, I was trying to figure out how to make a living doing a podcast. And Jeff's like, I got this great problem. Like, that's amazing. And it works. I had to find a premature ejaculating penis or a penis who wanted to last longer. Well, let's just say this. Most penises want to last longer.
They do.
I would say.
Yes, and most women want their penises to last
yes,
longer,
they do.
Just
they
as importantly.
Do. If there's a penis in their life, right. So what, I mean, so it's been like, Tell me how you feel now after 8 years of helping men. I mean, it's been such great. I know, like, I'm so proud of it. When now you guys are on Sirius too, we do ads. I'm like, no, you guys, this is something like it's real and it works. So how's your journey been? Tell me.
I think it's been gratifying. You know, to grow and have success from a business standpoint is obviously, as a CEO, it's my fiduciary responsibility to my shareholders and my employees to do that. But I don't think anyone could ever truly understand, but you understand because this is what you do for a living. When you get emails from people saying, I was celibate for 5 years. I literally was tired of being in disappointing sexual relationships. I quit being intimate. I was so disappointed. I saw these ads for these products. They didn't work. For some reason, I saw the medical credibility. I heard Emily. I heard Dr. Ian Kerner. I heard, you know, a urologist on a certain show, and I decided to give it a chance. It's revitalized my life. When you get an email from a couple who says, you know, we had been going through the motions literally for the last 3 years, 5 years, we were intimate on his birthday, Christmas, and, you know, our anniversary. Other than that, we weren't really excited. We had one individual in particular that said, my wife and I had to start taking yoga and working out and stretching because instead of a 30-second or 1 minute, you know, intimacy session, it started lasting 20, 25 minutes, and we were not prepared physically to actually endure that. And I started laughing. I was like, well, I guess not. I mean, if it's over in 30 seconds, it's not like you need a lot of stamina, or, exactly. You know what I mean? When it's basically over, when it starts, you don't really need to be limber, you know?
Exactly.
But when you hear people and they get emotional and they go, do you know what it's like to have my self-esteem back? Do you know what it's like to feel like a man again? And you don't realize until you do this, something like this, because the average person doesn't, like you sit here all day and like I do in my job, sit there all day and talk to people. They don't realize how much of a person's self-esteem is wrapped up their sexuality.
Absolutely.
And you find out that a father or a man is a better father. He's a better boss. He's a better, you know, husband. He's a better son. He's a better everything when he's happy that his life is fulfilled. And that's a big part of your life to be missing.
Yeah.
And from a woman's standpoint, we find out not only is the sex satisfying to a woman if the person lasts longer, but knowing that her husband is satisfied makes a woman feel better. Knowing that a man knows that he's satisfying his woman makes a man have more confidence. Because if you're truly in a healthy relationship, you want your partner to be satisfied.
Exactly. You both want it.
You both want it. And no matter, even if it feels like a prehistoric urge as a man, oh, I want to satisfy my woman, or as a woman.
But it is a prehistoric urge.
It is a prehistoric urge.
You are like just mammals. Like, you really are like, when men don't feel sexually confident, they can't please their woman, or they're stressed about their jobs, like all they can't provide, they do feel like it's hard for them to perform in the bedroom.
It's hard for them
to feel manly and feel confident.
In any area of their life.
Especially sex, though.
And especially sex. And unfortunately, we wrap it up in religion, and you know, it's this taboo subject that people can't talk about. People are uncomfortable. Oh, my kids are here. Let me tell you something. The fact that your kids are there is something you should talk about, so they don't grow up thinking that it's the forbidden fruit, that they don't get all completely caught up in this is wrong, I can't talk about it. You go to Europe and people are so free and they're so open sexually. And I go, I need to move to Europe. But
Seriously. My
son lives here. I'm not leaving him.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's 30 and I'm hoping to be a grandfather one day. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Can't wait for that.
But I know. But I want us as a society to not feel the taboo, to not feel the shame, to not feel like, oh, this is a naughty thing.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Get out of here.
Exactly. Well, Jeff, you just brought up a good point. I'm talking to Jeff. He's the CEO of Promescent, which we're going to get into in a minute. If you're like, what? But I think they know about Promescent. It helps you last longer in bed. It's awesome. It's the only FDA treatment to do it. But the thing that you brought up is kids. So a lot of people, let's just say this. Prior to, the reason why I was so excited to meet Jeff when I met you is because I was like, oh God, if Guy calls into my show or emails the podcast at the time, he comes before he wants to, he can't last long enough. Honestly, my advice is, and it still remains the same because not everyone wants to buy, I understand, it's a practice. And in talking about parents and kids, a lot of time it's psychological. It's in your head. You have to learn kind of like, and it's a lot of work though. You got to do the stop-start method. I want you to edge. You have to like keep masturbating until, you know, you're about to have an orgasm. Then you stop again. And then if you start again, and it's like, but you got to do it every day. For the rest, you got to practice. You got to rewire your brain. And then they still, I hope they don't do this anymore. People have called in though and I get angry. They're like, my doctor said I should go on an antidepressant so I don't come so quickly. I'm like, no. Please try. If you're going to take it, try Promescent. So it's just like there really aren't other solutions, and it can be tough.
Do you know what the side effects are if you take antidepressants for PE when you're not depressed. When I took over this company, I think I've told you this before, it's very important to me, if you're going to run a company and be the CEO, you have to know what you're competing against, what people's other options are. How can you properly position your product? So I said to Ron, he was a urologist, the guy who invented and founded Promescent, I'm going to try all the other products. So the Stud 100s and the Mandelays and Risers, I used them and they completely numb me.
Like and numb
my partner. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My partner, I was like, well, I think we're being intimate because I know we're moving, but I can't feel anything and she can't feel anything. The whole objective is to feel pleasure. I mean, you could have dropped a cinder block on my penis. I could have felt it, okay?
Oh,
it was like, I could have lasted for 2 days.
Yeah, I've got that because, visual. Thank you very
much. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's a bad visual for me, too, because you can't feel anything. So I said to Ron, you know, a lot of doctors prescribe, you know, antidepressants because SSRIs, which is selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, one of the side effects of that drug is they allow you to last a lot longer. So I said, give me whatever dosage you give to people for PE that aren't depressed. Or whatever. He said, okay, great. So it was something called Zoloft. So he gave me this low-dose Zoloft. So the first 2-3 days, I'm like, wow, this does allow you to last forever. By the third, fourth day, I'm like, hey, wait a second. I have dry mouth, mm-hmm. nausea. I swear to God, my eyes were all dry. It felt like someone took my libido, put it in a garment bag, and threw it in the back of the closet right. somewhere. I mean, yeah. literally, like, take your
oh my God.
Fantasy person. For me, it's Emmanuel Shariki. Remember, she used to be on, oh, my God. I mean, seriously, I get weak in the knees. I even think about her. She could have walked in right now, laid on this table naked, and went, let's go. I go, I'd rather have a ham sandwich. You know what I mean? It was like, and I'm normally, even for my age, I have a really active libido. It was like, I'm not kidding you. I'm like, Ron, get me off of this stuff right now. He's like, well, because it's, you know, it has a half life and everything, you can't just get on and get right off. Yeah. He goes, what we'll do is we'll start tapering down. I go, take me down right now. Get me off of this stuff. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, what if this is like permanent? What if this stuff doesn't go back away? So it took about another 4 or 5 days. And I go, how could anyone take those? Dry mouth, nausea, vomiting, loss of libido. I go, excuse me, I'll take PE. Okay, I'll deal with it. I'll get all kinds of vibrators. I'll get a Sibian. I'll get every toy known to mankind as long as I don't feel like that. Okay. And that's what people with physicians were referring people to.
Yeah, they were getting, they're giving, and they also do that for, and a lot of people don't understand the hidden side effects of antidepressants.
Those aren't even hidden.
No.
I mean,
well,
it was
right.
brutal.
They're not hidden.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, but I'm saying women call in, they're like, I can't orgasm. I'm like, what do you want? They're like,
SSRIs.
I guess their doctors don't often tell them, or maybe they forget. They don't think it's going to happen for men, too. It's ridiculous.
Using an SSRI
you.
For PE is like putting out a candle with a fire hose, okay? It's a little too strong.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It was insane.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And we also, so I promised everyone we were going to close the orgasm gap tonight.
Yes.
And I think you've been doing that with Promescent. But let's talk about it. Like, what, I always say, but what the orgasm gap? When I say that, it's like, we know that women take longer to orgasm than men. There's just going to be a gap.
The clinical trials, when you look at, and it's funny because I went to some of the clinics. So I went to some of these clinics because, you know,
Jeff
we deal
does
with
his work.
I do my work, exactly.
He's a fucking business.
It also satisfies the perv aspect. You go in there and go, I wonder how this works. You know, you go in there, I swear you go in there, I'm not kidding you.
He doesn't look like a perv.
And they have, I'm a pretty normal dude, I say that joke.
No, I'm saying, that's what's amazing.
I do have a little bit of an adventuresome side, which a lot of people do. I think it comes from being a single dad and raising my son all those years. I had to kind of suppress things that I'm living out this fantasy.
I love your life, Jeff.
Yeah. I kind of enjoy it too. But you go in, and this is the craziest thing. They have a thing where they wire people up and they monitor them so they know when they're having an orgasm. They have a stopwatch. If you have PE, can you imagine someone standing with a stopwatch? You know what I mean? Like, I go, excuse me, that's putting a little more anxiety here. But they determine that the average, this isn't people with PE, these are normal, healthy people. The average woman without excessive stimulation takes 18 minutes of thrusting to achieve climax. The average
thrusting,
man.
Thrusting, though?
Actual penetration or thrusting.
If she can even get there from thrusting.
If she can even get there from thrusting. Yeah, if she can. The actual man. Healthy male, not someone with PE, lasts 5 minutes and 20 seconds. That's the arousal gap. So even in healthy couples, you have this giant disparity of good intimacy. That's why there's 18 trillion vibrators in the world. Guys stop, start, switch positions, think about baseball scores, think about their grandmother naked, all these crazy things going, I can't feel the pleasure and go over the edge. I have to disassociate. Intimacy is about connecting. Mm-hmm. It's about passionate emotion, not sitting there going, Ted Skunk's on a soccer field. Oh, whatever. I just can't think of what I'm doing. So that, you know, that just, it's so crazy, these methods that people use to last long enough. So we recommend, and one of the things we always tell people, if you look at our product, it's a great product. It works. But also learn, to be more into foreplay. Learn, mm-hmm. get yourself a vibrator. You know, I was shocked because I've always been a little bit on the adventuresome side. How many people go, oh, I would never buy a vibrator. I go, why? Well, it would mean I can't satisfy my wife. I go, no. How about if you think of it as a way to satisfy your wife to a higher degree?
Yeah.
Okay. How about if it, get out of this Puritan mindset that having toys and vibrators, are, for God's sakes, you can get them at Target now. You can walk
exactly.
anywhere. It's not like you have to go to some seedy sex shop on the end of the street. There's 47,000 websites. Regular grocery stores have a section
with, you
know, condoms and lubes and vibrators. Open up your sexuality. Connect with your partner. To me, there's nothing wrong with people in any relationship as being open with one another and sharing things and go, what is it that I can use to bring you to a higher level of passion or intimacy or pleasure?
Exactly. I mean, that's, you know, that that's what I'm all about is intimacy. It's like, what is that? Is that that is immediately just saying that we are going to connect. Because if you find that you are in your head during sex, you're worried that you're going to orgasm too quickly. You're women out here. You're not going to, you're worried you're not going to orgasm at all. Then you know if that is happening. If you're having thoughts like that during sex, you're not as connected as you can be.
Think about it. If you inject anxiety into anything, are you ever fully enjoying it? If you're having a meal and you are anxious about something, are you really enjoying the flavors of that meal?
Right.
Are you sitting and letting it seep in and getting every bit of pleasure out of it? Of course not.
Right.
No matter what you're doing. And if there's anything more important in your life than intimacy, I'd like to know what it is.
Right. And that's what we all crave. We crave that connection, but yet we're in our heads worrying about how to do it right, and then we're missing the whole experience, and then life goes by.
One of the things that I have found,
and then you die.
I'm a big believer in it. I have no objection to porn whatsoever. But people start measuring themselves to porn. A woman goes, if I don't have an orgasm where I'm flopping around like a fish, you know what I mean? And going insane. Or if a guy goes, you know, I don't shoot across the room and hit someone in the forehead, you know, across the other end of the thing. Or, you know, I don't have a, you know, a 14-inch penis and I last an hour and a half, then I'm insufficient.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you don't watch the NFL and go, I should run as fast as the fastest running back. Why is it that people watch porn and go, that's the
norm?
Because
they think it's real. For some reason, people think, oh, well, it's the first time I've ever seen sex for many people.
Yes.
They've seen the sexual act and they think, oh, well, then it must be real. Like, because they have nothing, because their parents didn't talk to them about it.
Exactly.
They've never seen anything else. They never came across my podcast and they think it's real. And then they get disappointed during sex or they're worried they're not performing. And it starts at a young age. That's why you got to talk to your kids and say, I know you might find porn, son, daughter, but here's the thing. It's not real. They're not actually really having orgasms. He was casted for his penis and they had to search far and wide for a 14-inch penis.
Yeah, that 12-inch penis with the girth of a Coke can isn't the norm. You know what I mean? Don't get upset if that's not you.
Exactly. God, it's so true. But I feel like, and I love what you're saying about vibrators too, all the things. But if you need to, like, and then if you're having some stuff, and I think if you're listening to this, we're talking about, like, how can you satisfy yourself and your partner. So if you're tripping out about maybe you're lasting too long, not long enough. Some people last too long.
That's absolutely.
You must hear everything, right? Like you, first of all,
everything.
What I mean, because people don't get the difference between like ED and PE.
We have people going, will this help me get an erection? I go, what part of our website did you ever get that impression? It's not Viagra.
It's not Viagra.
It's totally separate. So we have to literally educate people and talk to them and go, if that's your expectation, you're going to be disappointed. That is not what we do. We have people that go, well, I have trouble orgasming. Will this help me? I go, if you're having trouble orgasming before putting this on, okay, I got news for you. You're going to have make love to your woman or man, whoever you're making love to, for 2 weeks before you're going to, if you're already having issues, this is going to only accentuate that. And you have questions, you know, and it's funny. We have this interactive chat feature called OLARC where we talk to our customers.
I love that.
Live.
Yeah. And Jeff's probably still doing it. Like the CEO, like make it a big company.
He's 2 hours a week. It's me.
I know, Jeff.
Because to me, I want to talk to our customers. I want to talk to people. How did you find us? You know, have you used it before? What's your experience like? And they don't believe it. And I'll go, no, it's me. Trust me. They'll go, no.
I'm really the CEO.
So they go to the page and they see the CEO and I go, see that email right there? And they'll go, yeah. I go, send me an email. They'll go, okay, great. And as soon as it comes in, I answer it. I go, see, I told, they go, what are you doing on here? I go, this is how I learn about who uses our product, how they find it, the satisfaction level. It's important. That's why I used everything before I became the CEO. I wanted to know how to position it. But I've talked to people and I just shake my head. I go, where are these people? I'd really like to see this. I had a woman, I had this hour long, you know, chat, and then I gave her my phone number. She called me because I go, these people need some help.
Mm-hmm.
They were really super religious. and they never had sex with anyone prior to them being married. They had been married for 7 years. They had sex like twice a year. The guy lasted like 12 seconds
each time.
Because
he was waiting his whole life.
I go, no wonder he's lasting 12 seconds. He gets sex every 6 months, okay? Yeah. I'm surprised you don't like, you know, reach out to him and he has an orgasm. You know, it's like, and it was the craziest thing. And I'm going, in this day and age, how could people be of that mindset? I just pictured them like in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan or something. I go, these people can't live in the United States, okay? Yeah. Where can you be and be that disassociated where you don't have TV or radio or, I mean, what?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I think probably if they started having sex, they just thought, and maybe they hadn't had sex with other people. So like, well, this is
normal. They were both the only people they'd ever been with.
It was the first time. And they're like, it's not satisfying, but they can't go to the church. They can't go to their parents and they don't know who to go to. So I was going to say though, Jeff, so people who use promethazine, what have you found? Is there a certain like demographic? Has it surprised you? Same sex couples, like men,
who
are the people?
I'll give you the typical, but then I'll give you the ranges. Okay. The typical promethazine user is a man between 33 and 50 years old. And you have to understand there's two people.
33 and 50.
33 and 50 is the absolute
sweet spot. I would think
it'd
be a lot more younger, but maybe they don't find you at a young age when they need you.
Well, here's the thing. They don't find us, and I call this the machine gun theory, okay? When men are 18 to 33 or 16 to 33, when they become intimate, they literally have a machine gun. They can fire bullets every half hour.
Yes, they keep coming. They're like, I don't care if I came in 2 seconds.
That's exactly, because I know I'm going to go again. When you get to be my age, it's... I say when you're in your 50s, it becomes a rifle. I'm like a musket, okay? You got to like put the powder in, it takes like a half hour to reload, you know, the whole thing. So men that aren't that, you're laughing over here.
No, it's true though.
It's one of those things that if you go, I can have sex again in 2 minutes, who cares?
Yeah, we didn't
and
notice.
The second time, I'll last longer. When you're like me, I'm like, I need a meal. I need to sleep. Yeah. I need to work out the next day before I'm ready. I got to make every shot count. So I have a gun. Every shot has to be right in the forehead, okay? Right. They look at this machine gun. They're spraying bullets. I'll hit them with something, you know what I mean? Right. So younger men, unless they're extremely, you know, wealthy and they have all this discretionary income and they're going, I'm trying to optimize every area of my life, they're like, hey, I'll just do it again. You know, it's like,
true. Yeah. My boyfriend, I was going to say last time, my boyfriend at 25, he could come 3-4 times. I'd never seen that since. I was like, oh, wow. Just like, I don't know if I don't remember how fast the first one was. It just kept coming.
Exactly.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Not anymore. Nope. Trust me. Not because people my age, I'm about to turn 62. And it's like, one of the things that blows me away is they'll go, oh, I've been married 20 years. We have sex literally 3 times a year. I'm like, what? And they go, no, we're just both kind of over it. And I go, dude, you need to reexamine your relationship. Take a vacation, you know, get back into it, you know, that kind of a thing. But for us, it's about if your performance starts waning, then your enthusiasm is going to wane. Then you get into the spiral where you forget about it. Think about if you have a favorite food. You eat all the time. You love it and you cook it. And all of a sudden, you just kind of quit eating it. A year later, you kind of forget about it.
Yeah, you do.
But then someone waves it in front of you. You go, hey, wait a second. That's good. You know,
well, that's it. People forget they like sex. They forget they connected because there was a problem. And they're like, oh, I don't really need it. And I feel like a lot of people have called in and said that. And I'm like, no, you just forget. You have forgotten what it feels like to be a sexual being on the planet.
And you know what I find, too? And everyone gets into this is when you get into a relationship, I don't care how explosive it is to begin with. I don't care how magical it is the first year or 2 years. If you pass that 3, 4, 5 year mark, you get into a routine. Once you get into a routine, the excitement begins to wane. It's something
it's
you truly
happen.
Have to work at.
You do.
It will happen. It's just like, think about your favorite meal. If you eat it every single day after 5 years, you go, I want anything but that. Okay. Give me anything but a sirloin steak after all these years of loving it. So you have to go, I need to find different ways to make that steak. I need different sauces. I need different presentations, different side dishes to get it a little bit of a flavor, different flavor, so that I still crave it.
Right.
Sex is the same thing.
Same exact thing. And people just, you know, they don't understand. We think it's supposed to just magically be amazing all the time. It's the one thing in our life that we think it should just work without having any effort at all, because it did in the beginning. And no one tells you that it changes over time, except for I do and you do, Jeff, which I appreciate. And
part of it is we have the benefit of seeing so many people that lose touch. And then it shocks you and scares you into going, I'm not letting that happen to me.
Right.
I've seen that. I don't want that to happen in my life.
Well, that's why I actually, I don't know if I've shared this with my SiriusXM audience, but I started the show because I've said this, but I didn't think sex was so, I thought it could be a lot better. People were saying, God, sex is so amazing. I'm like, okay, I want to figure out what great sex is. But also, I saw that so many people were not having great, that sex was a culprit. When people were ending relationships, they're like, oh yeah, the sex wasn't great. Or then I saw that couple that sitting at the restaurant who you tell them married for 20 years and they weren't talking to each other. And I say, I never want to be that couple. I never want to be in a relationship where the sex dies, you know? And so, because I knew. And I'm like, well, I'm going to figure out how to prevent that. So,
and you're doing a great job of it.
Thank
you,
Jeff.
You ever go in a restaurant and you see a couple and the woman's texting, the guy's reading the paper, and then you start staring at him and 20 minutes go by and there's no interaction with them. Zero. And you know what I think now from having been in the business? I go, those people are having horrible sex. Yeah, they're not connected. Same. And if I go into a restaurant and you see people and they're holding hands and they're joking and you see this banter back and forth, I literally say to myself, those people have good intimacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just, it doesn't stop in the bedroom. It doesn't start in the bedroom and it doesn't stop in the bedroom. For you to have good intimacy, you literally have to be anticipating it during the day. You have to make that person feel special. And even afterwards, you can't roll over and go, I'm done. Boom. Go to sleep.
Aftercare is a big part of sex,
guys. Aftercare is just feeling that connection. Mm-hmm. And everyone's felt this. Do you ever get that feeling like you go, I don't know where I end and she begins, vice versa? Mm-hmm. It's just like you feel like you're laying there and it's just one giant connection. Aww. There's no beginning, there's no end, and you're just totally comfortable.
Yes.
And that you can only achieve that through intimacy. And intimacy doesn't mean, good intimacy doesn't mean lasting 45 minutes. It doesn't mean, because there are certain couples that go, we have a great sexual relationship, and the guy lasts 3 minutes, but it only takes 3 minutes for the woman.
It's fine. If it's not a problem, it's not a problem. If it's not a problem for either one of you, it's not a problem.
You know what I tell people? Because sometimes people say to me, well, because of what you do, define how long good sex is. I go, there's no such thing to define it in a time frame. It's when both couples generally are mutually satisfied and they're both comfortable and they both say, I'm happy with the intimacy we have. It can be 3 minutes. It can be 30 minutes. It can be 40. It can be whatever. Yeah. That's the most important thing. Are your expectations being met? Are you comfortable? Do you look forward to it? Do you want to do it again? Do you want to be in a situation that you just can't distance yourself from that person? You just love feeling close to that person.
Exactly. It's intimacy. I think a lot of people don't understand that, which is why we're here and why we do what we do. Look at you, Jeff. You've been doing this now for 8 years. Like half the time you're like out there too being the sex expert.
Well, here's the funny part.
I love it, Jeff.
I was a semiconductor engineer and I retired after I sold my business and my next door neighbor develops a product and the next thing you know, I feel like I'm Dr. Oz. You know what I mean? It's like,
Jeff, you're the best.
People that knew me from the semiconductor day goes, what? How did you make that transition? I go, it's a long story.
Because you're like, hey, what's going on with your sex life? They're like, what? That happened? Yeah. I worked in politics before I worked in sex.
I know.
They'd be like, what the fuck happened?
San Fran.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. We're talking to Jeff Abraham. He's the CEO of Promescent, the only FDA-approved treatment to help you last longer in bed.
Correct.
Let's just say that. And Jeff, I got to ask you these are our questions that we ask our guests. So
yes.
Would you rather? Okay, ready?
Yes.
Would you rather have early morning sex or late night sex?
Early morning.
Okay. Would you rather get a lap dance or a strip tease?
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
What does eventually lead to? Is that the beginning and the end of it? Or does it lead up
what
to...
What titillates you? What turns you on the most?
Lap dance.
Okay. Ooh. Would you rather have sex with a biter or a screamer?
How hard are they biting? And where are they biting?
I don't know. In a way that's like on your shoulder.
Screamer.
Okay.
Because, you know, if I've had a couple situations early in my life where someone bites hard.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, whoa, 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 okay.
James is a biter?
I'm a biter.
I'm a biter, too. And I don't even know I'm a biter. Like, I have my boyfriends be like, do you see this? I'm like, what happened?
I'm bleeding. My shoulder's like, bloody, okay?
You forget that you're doing it.
I forget that you're biting.
No, that's what I was
going to
say.
I'm a biter.
They don't even do it on purpose, and I don't mind, a playful, like even a little bit of an aggressive bite, but when they draw blood, I'm like, wait a second. Do I get to get a tetanus shot?
Exactly. I mean, I know. Yeah. Scream.
Okay. That's better for my ego too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We love it. Make some noise during sex.
Yeah.
Okay, would you rather be terrible at kissing or at oral sex?
Oh, kissing.
Okay. Good.
Well, wait a second. But if I'm really bad kisser, I might not get to oral sex.
That's
okay,
true. But you
so
just
I would have to be assured that I would eventually get to the oral sex part. So, one wouldn't preclude the other. Yeah,
I like the way you think. Okay, Jeff, thank you so much for being here, for being a longtime friend and fan and supporter of the show.
I enjoy every bit of it.
And you're doing the great work at Promescent. So thank you. It's great to see you. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your calls.
Okay, so we do have a question from a a female listener.
Okay.
How do you get around not being kissed after he, boyfriend, I assume, or partner, goes down on you? Should I be more open-minded?
Yeah. You got to be open-minded when, here's the thing, he's going down on you. It's an act of intimacy. Like, I think, it's in your brain, you're thinking, like, oh my God, it's going to be this gross. And it's like, I feel like everyone loves the vulva, the vagina, hail to the vagina, the pussy, whatever you want to say. But then we're like, oh, but it's kind of dirty and gross. No, if he's going down on you, I say, girl, make out with him and see it. You're going to be fine. And I think you might even find it really hot. I think it is something to get over. Now, if you do it, and I'm talking about being present. I hear this from women, for example, if they go down on their guy, giving him a blowjob, and then they try to kiss him and he turns away, some women can be offended by that. Well, and I'm like, you guys, you're already down there. You're kissing. Sex is beautiful and messy and sexy and all the sensual and all these things. So I think, yeah, I think it's something that it's a learning curve with sex. You just make out like you mean it. It's fine.
I
like that one. That's a good one.
Okay, we have Drew, who's 41 in New Mexico. And he says he has an ex, has a free pass in her new relationship, and he wants to know from you if you think he should have sex with her.
Hey, Drew. Okay,
hey,
good.
How y'all doing?
So good. Okay, wait, tell me about this ex. Like, I need to know more to give you my expert opinion.
So it's about 15 years.
Oh.
About 15 years ago, we were in like a 3-year relationship. Well, now she's married. And, you know, her and her husband have an open marriage relationship. So he's giving her a free pass to one of the places out here in Albuquerque, in New Mexico. And so they're setting it all up. And when he said, well, he tells her, you can be with anybody you want to be. Just, I don't want to know about it. Anybody but Drew.
And
because he found out about it.
Oh. Hold up.
Yes.
Hold up. Wait. It was sounding so good. I was like, I'd love to fuck one of my exes from 15 years ago. That'd be so fun. Oh my God, I don't want to be with them, but we all kind of put them on the pedestal. No. So now it's sneaky. It's not cool. It's mixed up energy. She's like, he's like, cool. Anyone right. But Drew. And then she called you. Drew, you don't need to go back.
Well,
I think, yeah.
Hang on, because they do role playing in the bedroom for the last 10 years. As me.
So oh my God, like, is this so okay, wait. Why is she still with him? He literally... Okay, so she calls him Drew, like in the height of passion?
Well, he'll even say, you know, did Drew do it this way? Did Drew do it that way? And she'll be like, yeah, he sure did. And then they get off on that shit.
She's telling you this? No, Drew, what's your love like now? You don't need to go back. Listen, here's my thing about going back to an ex. There has to be a really good reason. Like, something has changed. Like, you really, you know, you're both on the same page. This is just, no, you don't want to get messed up in this. I think...
That's a hot mess, ain't it?
It is a hot mess. Like, it is, there are so many more ways. It's just so messy. I say run for your life. Like, you got out of it for a reason. I mean, are you having regular sex right now? Are you in a relationship?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, I'm just chilling out right now.
You're just chilling. Well, I think this is just... I think even karmically, energetically, I mean, that's not a good place to go. No. Yeah.
I should just leave it alone?
Leave it alone, even though you want to tap that again. I get it. I understand. But
I do.
I know you do. And at first, I really wanted you to. I did, because I was like, well, that's cool. And then I said, anyone but Drew. I'm like, okay, well, if Drew, like, there's a reason. They're, like, role-playing you in the bedroom. Which, well, I mean, no. But I want to know why you're, you know, I think that this is just too easy for you. And I think you should just kind of think of, why aren't you having sex right now? If you're into it, and go out and find someone new. Are you going to listen to me? I can't tell. I think Drew really wants to. What?
I'm going to try my luck.
What'd you say? You're going to what? Try your what?
I just got to the bar, so I'm going to try my luck and see how this goes.
Try your luck, Drew. I'm giving you the confidence now. Go find something else. You're going to forget about the act you already did. Thanks, Drew. Thanks for calling. Yeah, that is just one messy situation.
Wild.
Like, anyone but Drew. They're into some other things that I just, yeah.
Well, I heard open relationship, and I was like, oh, yeah, like hot pass.
Oh, cool.
That sounds nice. And then, yeah. Then you say anybody but Drew.
Right, not Drew.
And they're role-playing him in the bedroom, which just to me doesn't sound healthy.
Mm-mm. It's kind of a cuckolding, but like a wordplay of a cuckolding.
Maybe. I don't know. I was trying to think. I was like, maybe they're trying to do a cuck thing, and it's like a surprise, it's like, and you don't know.
It's like a mind fuck kind of thing. Like, yeah. Manipulating, like, I don't know. I don't think it sounds good. He's like, it's a hot mess. I'm like, hot mess, mm-hmm. like, times two. So, thanks, mm-hmm. Drew, for that. That was good. That was entertaining. And I'm glad we can help people. I love it. You guys, I got to tell you, I love every call, everything that comes in here. But there's some things that I just like, if you're not sure if you should do something or not, if you should go on a second date with someone or if you should end a relationship, I'm your girl. I got to say, I can break it down for you. We don't see sometimes the things, the problems in it. So, and you can call me with anything, as you know, 888-947-8277.
That was just interesting call. I loved it. Anyway, okay, Kim 57 in Arizona is having a hard time initiating.
Oh, hey, Kim, you heard us talking about that earlier, huh?
I did, but I have to say, our sex life is great.
Okay.
I just lack the confidence to initiate more often.
I get it. Well, Kim, I don't know if you know, this is the thing. So many women are in your position because we're like, no, our partner's been initiating for however long, 20 years or ever since I've been with men, they always initiate. So women, it's almost like a skill that you don't have. So you're like not confident in it, right? So like if he says to give you a blowjob, you got that. But like initiating, we think it should be so easy, but it's not. So my best advice, Kim, is asking your husband, is your husband or your partner, is saying to him, honey, yeah, I'd love to initiate, but tell me like specifically what that looks like. Like, what's your dream scenario? And then let him tell you. Like, maybe he's like, well, I come home from work and, you know, you're cooking dinner naked, or you're like, you come up and give me a kiss on my neck, or you're, who knows? I don't know what it is for your husband, but that might be the thing that will help you figure out what it looks like, and then you get to make it your own.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, let me know how it goes, Kim. That works.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That works for me. We know it works for a lot of listeners. 888-947-8277. Remember, you guys, a lot of the things that you're concerned about and that are hard for sex or you don't have the confidence in, it's simply because you have not done it. You haven't tried it. And we're so afraid of, like, you know, we'll try so many other things in our life. When it comes to sex, it's like terrifying because it's so taboo and we're brought up for so many messages that just prevent us from ever risking it. And I say, just, you know, try it out. You'll see it's not as bad as you think. And in fact, that's how you're going to learn and you're going to exercise those sex muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got another Instagram question here from a Kim. So I want to say I can't see the picture, so I don't know if it's a guy or girl, actually. But my girlfriend and I want to try bondage. Where do we start?
Oh, okay. It's a great question. So, beginner bondage 101, I would say first talk about what that means. So sometimes couples are like, we want to try bondage or role play. Fantasize about it. Say, what does that look like to you? What kind of bondage interests you? Like, maybe you guys go buy a book on it, or you watch some porn and you find something that's like really hot for you. So a great place to start also is like a beginner bondage kit. I mean, honestly, bondage sometimes is just a matter of getting like, on our site, we have some things as well. Like, I think Sport Sheets make a beginner's bondage kit. For a lot of people, it just means like a blindfold, or it can mean, you know, restricting your hands back, and it comes with, or like a tickler. It usually has to do with dominant, submissive play, you know, playing with different roles. And honestly, like, I love the Velcro handcuffs and a blindfold, and maybe like a feather or a tickler or a spanker. And something like that would be a great place to start with bondage. And just, again, defining what it means to both of you, maybe watching some sexy bondage scenes and then take it from there. You might even have to buy anything. You could use a necktie. You could use an old sock. But I think also the thing about it, a clean sock, please, is that when you take it, the thing about bondage too is like taking away one sense of control. Like, you know, the arms are blindfold, it allows everything else to become a little more heightened and sensitive. And that's why, you know, it's good to start with a little blindfold, something like that. All right. Good question. Thanks for that on Instagram.
We have Jenna, who's 38 in Canada, who's got a question about orgasms.
Oh, Jenna, how can I help you? Hi.
Hi. I have a question. I guess I'm pretty lucky. Sometimes I'm able to orgasm really quickly at the beginning of sex, but then when my partner wants to have longer sex, I kind of get out of the mood and I'm not sure how to either do it again, or I just feel like it's too sensitive and I don't want to.
Yeah, I totally get it. Well, it's, you know, Jenna, it's cool because it's really, that's awesome. You can have orgasms right away. But also a little bit is like, it's kind of a learned behavior. You're like, oh, my clitoris is super sensitive after, and that's what that's just, I'm done. And this is where it takes a little bit of practice on your own or maybe with your partner. So maybe you have the orgasm first, right? And then maybe you stop and you guys go back to like making out and maybe you're going down on him and you're massaging each other and then he's, you don't have anything on your clitoris, right? You're not touching it. But then for women, our refractory period is so short that for women, it's kind of, you learn to kind of get in your body and have a multiple orgasm, which means that you can, you know, just again, kiss, get turned on with each other, and then you go back to sex again. And you might be surprised that, that will build again the orgasm and the breath. Like if you breathe into it, and it would be fun to just experiment, like without even intercourse and just playing with it, or even on your own if you have time to masturbate. You know, I think that, you know, it could also be like doing more foreplay on him first too. Like, you know, we always say she comes first, which is awesome that you do come first, but maybe he might need a little more at the beginning. So really, it's just, and again, you don't have to solve it on your own. So maybe just telling him what you learned tonight, and then he'll be like, oh, I get it. Because most people don't realize this. Like, we just assume, oh, it hurts after orgasm, I'm done. But I'm telling you, you can learn new ways, you know? And we have a good blog on our site, too, about multiple orgasms, how to have a multiple orgasm that we will put in the show notes. Because that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome, Jenna. Check it out. Thank you for calling. Hey, you guys know sexwithemily.com, chock full of information.
Chock full
of sex tips. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you all for calling in and being vulnerable and sharing your stories and participating. It's a big part of the show, so thank you all. I appreciate it. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.